Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to What the Buck. I had our bumper music all queued up, but then we had this huge announcement this week that many of you are here for. The folks who are tuning in from Finland and New Zealand, they're here not necessarily for Buck stuff. Maybe Buck stuff too. We just don't know. But if you've been under a rock and don't know, we have a special guest this evening. We have Nick Carter of Backstreet Boys fame joining us later this evening. I'm assuming Mr. Cook, who is across from me at this wonderful poker table, has told him how to contact the show, and he'll be calling in, I expect, it about halfway through, about half hour past. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Nick Carter. For those of you guys who don't know, Nick Carter's a huge Bucks fan, has been for a long time. Every time the Bucks have done something of prominence, that sort of bubbled to the surface. Pewter Report had a story about it a couple years ago, and Mark has got a relationship with Nick. And asked him to join the show, and our Twitter feed blew up, and it's been nothing but fun since. So I want to warn you guys in advance before we do all the normal welcomes. I have a sheet of paper here in front of me. In the chat room, if you want to try and guess how many songs the Backstreet Boys have produced, go ahead and guess. But I have all of them alphabetized. That's our drink words for tonight. If you hear a Backstreet Boys song title, that's the drink word. None of you should be driving tonight. So we've got a huge show set for the first area. We've got Chris of Bucks Brief podcast fame over here as well. So we may end up doing show number two. Nuck Nuck might show up. We just don't know what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, we're hoping Nuck Nuck shows up. The last I heard, he'd met a chick at the New Orleans game. He left his beeper on his moped, and I haven't heard from him since.
That's not good. And anyway, those batteries don't last long.
No, they don't. I've got his beeper, and it's been blowing up. There's some people he does business with that are not real happy right now.
Well, these things happen. These things happen. So, at any rate, welcome to the show tonight. Let's thank our sponsors and get things set up. When Nick calls in, we'll talk about that. We'll have some people joining who we haven't seen potentially before who'll get a chance to experience the What the Buck podcast. But first and foremost, thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Our tailgate this week was amazing because of the folks at Bill Curry and Bill Curry Cares, Steakhouse Elite, Tito's Vodka, Pepin Distributing, and the folks from Coca-Cola. We had a number of folks who came out to the tailgate this week. The wins are certainly getting the Bucks fans out of the houses, right? So they're getting out there. The tailgate was voluminous, let's say, with New Orleans. You always have the fun and frivolity anyway. But because of the generosity of the people at our tailgate, we were able to put $1,700 towards Alex's Christmas for Kids, which got over 50 bikes, which a lot of the other radio stations in town, and Drew Garabo and those guys were doing some of that work as well. Alex's program has really kind of blown up. So we're really excited about that. We thank any of you guys for coming out there and helping us make those things happen. So I mentioned before, we got Mark Cook in the studio of PewterReport.com fame. We got Chris. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with injuries? I know we had some problems last week. We had some health issues. It looks like people are coming back. Tell us what we can expect to see in Dallas on Sunday.
Well, expect to see a lot more of Goster Chariless. DeMar's not going to play, so DeMar won't be playing. And let's see. Let me just go down the injury list real quick. I think Luke Stocker's going to be back. I think that's going to be a huge advantage. I think he was missing really the last couple weeks. I think it's hurt a little bit.
Brandon did fairly surprisingly well, if you go back and look at it.
There were some play early in the game, I think he struggled a little bit more. Once he kind of got his feet underneath him, he played better. But the first half of that first quarter, it was a little rocky.
It's a great point. It's almost like he had to realize he was supposed to block because he's not a blocking tight end.
Right.
And it's like he had to go, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to be running out into a route. Let me go hit somebody.
And I love Chris. I love Cameron Brate.
Oh, Cam, yeah.
You know, he's an effort guy. Oh, he's just not great at blocking. It's not easy for him. So, but he did what he could do. But they really miss Luke a lot. But Chris Conte was back at full strength today practicing. Story we broke yesterday, PewterReport.com, that Chris spent the night in the hospital after that San Diego game coughing up blood. Remember, it was listed as a chest injury. We didn't really know what that meant. Still don't know specifically what the injury was, but he did spend the night in the hospital. I got that story up yesterday, and everyone else kind of piled on today, which is fine. Chris confirmed it again in the locker room, or confirmed it to them in the locker room after we had the story yesterday. But he's back. And DeMar Dotson, as we were saying, the concussion protocol, he's not going to play. Adam Humphreys, good news, he's back, which they need.
Was he able to count fingers today? Were you able to make sure
he
knew where he's at? Okay,
yes.
That's good.
Yes, I gave him the finger. And Gerald McCoy limited, but he's just going to be that way.
That
the
looks
rest
like
of the
precautionary,
year.
Doesn't
yeah.
it? Looks
oh,
like
yeah,
you got
yeah,
into
yeah.
a vet pattern.
Yeah. Because he was certainly not limited on Sunday.
No.
Again, say what you
that's
want about
sure.
statistics. The guy was insanely quick off the ball once again and extremely disruptive. Something we talked about last week. Collapsing that middle.
Absolutely.
Making Drew uncomfortable. Didn't expect a lot of sacks. Only ended up with one. But we talked about it last week. That was going to be the key, and we saw that happen. And then Luke Stocker, he was back today full with that ankle injury. So good news. For the Cowboys, though, Dez was limited with a back injury. So, boy, if he doesn't play, that that certainly helps the Buccaneers' chances a lot. Although, I haven't watched a lot of the Cowboys this year, but is
how
I'm
can
sorry,
you not? They're on TV,
well, I agree.
National TV every week.
And they're getting the ratings, by the way. They are single-handedly pulling the NFL ratings back up to last year's numbers with the last few weeks being on national TV. But is Cole Beasley like the new Randy Moss or something? Because the way the Buccaneers talked about him today, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, and when we get into the preview, it's and it's not just because he's leading them in receptions, but the matchup problems that I think he presents.
Against
not
Jamie
knowing,
and Elliott?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's, I think, everyone's going to talk about Zeke Elliott as the guy to stop. But if they can slow Cole Beasley, I think they've got a shot. But
yeah,
he's a guy who could explode just based on matchups going up against this defense.
What's interesting about Cole Beasley is that there's about 10 people who know who the hell he is that aren't playing for a team or working on a team in a coaching capacity. And yet he's out catching touchdowns, running all over the field, mm-hmm. catching everything thrown at him yeah. from a rookie quarterback. So people have to be aware of him. I happen to agree with your point, Chris, but I think that functionally the thrust has to be they've got to stop Zeke, right? I mean, that
sure.
line, going into this game 4 weeks ago, looking at the Dallas Cowboys looming large on the horizon, mm-hmm. the discussion was that offensive line is a juggernaut, right? You it's almost like the Denver Broncos of yore. They could put any clown back there and he's going to run for 1,000 yards. They don't have a clown back there. They have Zeke. He is decidedly not a clown. He's a very talented young back.
Right.
And he doesn't seem to be hitting any sort of a rookie wall. The difference is we got a chance to see the Giants go in there and give you a little bit of a diagram about how to make that offensive line look human. And that's something that I think Mike Smith and those guys in the lab are going to have to really take a look at and see what they can do with our squad.
I think, you know, we talk about this defense really coming on the last five games or whatever it's been. Look, Mike Smith, I said this on your show, maybe I said it on another one. I remember after that Thursday night Falcons game saying to Scott Reynolds, how does Dirk Cutter fire his buddy Mike Smith? Remember, they'd just given up nearly 1,000 yards passing in the previous two games. They look completely lost. This was at the 8-game mark, right? They were 3-5 after that
and
game.
And that's almost twice as long as the area usually gives coaches here. So
yeah.
So, I mean, he was well on borrowed time.
I mean, I'm thinking to myself, they can't finish dead. They can't be worse than Lovie Smith's defense and somebody not fall on the sword. And I was afraid it was going to be Mike Smith. Now, here we are 5 games later talking about who replaces Mike Smith when he goes to coach Jacksonville next year,
correct.
Which is a very real possibility.
We also did talk about, though, 2 weeks prior to those games happening with Oakland and Atlanta, that the defense was improving, but don't be surprised if the next couple weeks with the high-powered offenses that were coming in that they take a step mm-hmm. back a little bit, and then they've been turning it on again over
yeah.
the last X amount of games.
Yeah. Mike did I thought he did a phenomenal job with disguising coverages. They didn't blitz a lot in that game against the
Was it four plays?
You know,
Jimmy Johnson gave us the break, and I think he only blitzed four downs.
Yeah, and I thought they just did a masterful job of disguising things. And again, as we were talking before the show, this isn't Dak Prescott they were confusing. This was a first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy that throws for 5,000 yards every season. And they did a terrific job, and that's just the guys being comfortable on the field and Mike feeling comfortable enough to do these things. He could not have called that scheme, those type of disguises and coverages in those first 8 games. I mean, it would have been even worse than it was. So it's a combination of everybody kind of hitting their stride at once, and confidence is really contagious. Talk about winning's contagious, but confidence really is, because if somebody makes a play, the next guy wants to make the play, and that's what you're seeing really on this entire defense. I thought Levante David,
best game of the year,
is getting
both,
better.
Actually, both of our stud linebackers, I was tweeting that during the game, because mm-hmm. you've been very critical of the linebacking play, not of them as human beings.
Right.
And make sure we clarify that, because, you know, when narratives get developed, it's usually a nugget of crap like that it starts from. But the linebackers have not been playing particularly well. They haven't been in their assignments. They haven't been jumping into the right gaps. They haven't been getting their depth in coverage, right? So when we saw the Saints come in town, we had talked about the necessity of the backers to get deep, and on that tipped pass, he got back
yeah.
far enough, was able to get a hand on it, and good things happen when you tip the ball in the air. So it's a matter of getting guys to trust what they're doing. And I saw the article where Mike Smith said, listen, we dumbed the playbook down, right, mm-hmm. is what it comes down to, and not in a pejorative way, right? But we didn't need all those calls. We didn't have to be all that crazy and esoteric. Just be really good at this set of things mm-hmm. and get out there and do them. And that's what you're starting to see.
Yeah. Did either of you guys watch the TV broadcast or went back and watched the TV broadcast?
Yeah.
Is Charles Davis just good? I love Charles Davis.
We've had a couple of decent ones. Charles Davis is good. I've been all over Moose Johnson
this
year.
Yeah, Moose is good.
Moose has been on another
level. I really like Charles. You know, he really was able to break down some of those coverages that Mike Smith had his guys playing, and he talked about that particular one with that interception.
Absolutely.
About how it appeared at the snap to be a simple cover two, even though they were in nickel, but the linebackers were dropping deep in that situation. But I forgot what he said. Again, it was so technical, which is good. I love that because I learned something. And Charles is a good guy and a friend of mine, and I did text him last night. I said, man, you killed it. You
He's
absolutely crushed
it. Name-dropping son of a bitch.
It's Charles Davis. It's not Elvis Presley.
To get him back in two weeks.
Well, he would not call you back.
What?
Elvis?
Yes, he would.
They're calling the game again.
I would say Mistress Cleo would do it, but she's not around either. So you'd have to find another person. So
Jimi Hendrix.
God, get Bruce Lee in. No.
John Bonham.
There we go. So let's talk about the Saints game. A couple things that popped off the page, popped off the screen, popped off the field in the stadium. By the way, big kudos to the Bucs fans, which I have been beating the crap of on a regular basis. Showed up loud and proud. And even in my hoity-toity club section that gets a bunch of crap, even though I'm the one orange block that stands up and makes a bunch of noise and no one says anything to me about it. Club was up and rocking. I was looking down at section 120. Mm-hmm. Everyone was going crazy. It was the Seattle game was terrific, very loud, but we still had people leaving in the third quarter. Yeah. Very strange thing that happens. This game, no. No one was leaving. Yeah. It rained. They went away for a few seconds. It lightened up. They came back. Great job, home field advantage. Defense came out playing. The offense came out looking solid. And then stagnation.
Seen that before. Seen this this replay before, this movie before. And listen, we're all, you know, waving the flags and loving what we're seeing from this football team right now. But they've got to get some things corrected on offense if, by chance, they make the playoffs, if they want to do any damage in the playoffs.
Got
to score in the red zone. You've got to be consistent. The Bucs are seventh in the league in third down conversions on offense right now, third in defensively stopping them, but seventh. The problem, though, is when they get to midfield and closer, they seem to struggle there. And I think that's some decision-making from Jameis. When it's third and six, you don't need to throw a 20-yard pass there. Convert. You know, work your way in the field goal range at the very least, then take some of those chances, in my opinion. But it seems from their own 25, they opened up with drive, all right, from their 25-yard line. They moved down to, like, the 47-yard line or whatever the Saints it was, and then fizzled out. Now, thank God they've got a great punter, which has helped them out. But even on that very last drive, same thing happened. I mean, got to the 50, somewhere around there, and anger pinned them back. On the Saints' last drive, but on the Bucs' last drive as well. Those areas there, look, when you cross midfield, that is where you've got to take advantage. You know what I mean? You've got to get at least give your kicker a chance to put 3 points on the board because it's not easy to get to that position. And the Buccaneers, I think, have struggled once they get to that spot for whatever reason. Dirk completely put it on himself, said after the game, the reason we're not scoring points is because of play calling. The play caller is not calling very good plays right now. So, you know, we'll see what changes as far as that goes. But I think it's a combination of you know, some breakdowns, some penalties. They seem to have inopportune penalties. There's never a good time for a penalty, but boy, again, when you're at midfield or just on the other side of midfield, you know, you can't do that. And I think Jameis took a bad sack in that game as well, an opportunity where it knocked him out.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often with him, but occasionally it does. And I don't know what his options were. I haven't went back and watched that play specifically. Didn't look like he had a lot of room for error. He wasn't outside the pocket, so he couldn't throw the ball away. So he just kind of ate it there. But anyway.
Well, and the offensive line was not helping this week, right? The offensive line had a bad week across the board. We can pick on Goss all we want to.
Right.
But it wasn't just Goss. Everyone out there was not playing particularly well, which was astonishing because they were still able to move the ball. They're still able to get some points. The person we can't pick on this week is Mr. Aguayo, who did his job, which is great. We're not going to talk much about him because the less we talk about him, the better.
Right.
The only time you talk about kickers is when they screw up, and so I'd rather never say his name again and just be happy that the guy who kicks the strangely shaped ball does the thing he's supposed to do when he's supposed to do it. Now, with regards to the play calling, I think Dirk's right. I think what's happened is he's been handcuffed with some of the problems with health.
Yeah,
so he doesn't have all of the same weapons. And he looks in his toolbox. He's like, man, I could really build a house, except all I have is a screwdriver and one of those little tiny rubber hammers. And now, oh, look, I got a saw back. Great, I can start cutting some wood. So you get Adam Humphries back. The running backs have got to have someplace to run. And there was a huge thing, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in the second show because I want you to be able to swear a little bit, Chris, about Doug Martin. So, guys, if you want to hear the Doug Martin talk, we're going to do the two-show thing that we do from time to time because we're going to be really official with Mr. Carter joining the call. We don't want to sully the waters with our shenanigans.
Because he doesn't curse.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not his best buddy like you are. Tell us about last time you guys hung out. I don't know, man. So, but I want to try and be as good as we can with these guys, these new listeners. But in the second show, it'll be no holds barred and this crap about Doug Martin losing a step, not knowing how to run the ball anymore. It's time for the Jacquizz Rodgers era to start. We'll explain why that's all stupid, and you guys should start watching film again, like we said 8 weeks ago.
I go back to the offensive line real quick. I'm not like Chris, where I go back and study, you know, a ton of film. I'm kind of already working towards the next game once that game's over. But I did. I think it was Monday night. I was watching the TV broadcast again. Really wanted to pay attention to the offensive line because I left that stadium feeling that Donovan Smith had a terrible game. Donovan Smith didn't have a terrible game. He had three bad penalties.
Yeah.
But as far as his blocking goes, the thing about Donovan, though, is just inconsistencies from time to time. The guy can dominate at times, and other times, you know, he's just missing a little bit. And when he and if he develops the consistency that everyone expects or wants him to, he's going to be a pretty good left tackle in this game. And I know people are ready to ship him over to the right side already, and they're like, this is people saying this, not me. We have to replace him next year. With what? With who? I mean, right now you're drafting 21st.
You don't understand. Right? There's a lineman that plays for another team who has a blocking level 74 that's better than his level 72.
Yeah. You're just going to bring in Joe Thomas.
It's just the Madden GMs out there,
crazy.
Right?
Tell them
to shut up with their 23 Twitter followers and get the hell off the area.
I don't get it. I mean, you where this team has a lot bigger needs than left tackle.
Yes.
If Donovan Smith plays this way that he's played this year for the next 10 years, that's okay. You can still win a lot of football games.
Absolutely.
And you know, there's other needs on this football team. And really, you're going to replace a second-round draft pick with somebody found in the fifth round that's going to step right in and play better than him? That's just not going to happen. You know, you're better off trying to figure out if you can develop a guy like Caleb Benenock.
Sure.
You know, along those lines, as opposed to moving Kevin Pamphill out there, giving him a shot, as opposed to trying to find a rookie, you know, because you're not going to spend your first-round draft pick on a left tackle. And we've talked about with the spread of the spread offenses in college football, it has delayed development of offensive linemen tremendously. And because it's just a different game in the NFL. And so, you know, it's not where you just get a top 10 lineman, you plug him in and he plays there for the next 15 years. You don't worry about it. The Buccaneers found that guy in the second round in Donovan Smith. Now, again, can he be better? Absolutely. But he wasn't terrible in this game. And PFF had Ali Marpet graded as one of the lowest guys. Actually had Kevin Pamphill graded much higher. I thought it was completely the opposite.
I don't understand.
I thought Marpet's mistakes came because of some deficiencies with the guy next to him.
I agree.
And not being able to, you know, not
and
having
that
chemistry.
That's impossible for them to characterize. And I know beating up on PFF is sort of the topic du jour as of late. I think they do a pretty good job in general, but it does speak to a problem with their model. They talk about individual grading, and you eventually get to individual grading, but when you look at it, you have to look at it with the context within which it occurred. And like you said on this one, and we said before, when you've got a slappy out there and guys who's not been able to do it, he hasn't started, mm-hmm. he doesn't have the best. I love the guy coming in as an extra
sure.
blocker. I even called to see when DeMar was playing poorly, give him a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
We saw it. We saw it.
DeMar is tremendous.
DeMar, come back, please.
Yes, please.
Someone get some
can.
Smelling salts and get his ass back in the game.
I agree.
But Allie's got to try and make up for that when it's going on. So
you know what I like about Marpet, and I'll stop in the offensive line because people are going to think I'm trying to be Mr. Film Breakdown guy. I'm not, but I did play offensive line, and that's what I coached at high school football level, and completely different, obviously, in the NFL. But what I see with him versus some of the other linemen is in his run blocking – which I thought was his best attribute last year, it's improved to the point where he's not just pushing guys out of the way. He's actually using leverage to actually turn his body and create a shield and a wall. Then impressively, getting to the second level. And you don't always see that with guys. A lot of times they can't release. They don't have good position on their guy number one, so they've got to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
If you block a guy properly off the snap of the ball, get him turned, then you can release a lot of times and get to the next level. And I thought Marpet did a good job. I didn't watch all of the second half, but for the first 2.5 quarters, I thought he played well.
He didn't stand out to me at any of the plays I was breaking out when I was watching Doug. Till like play 15, where you know he missed a block.
Yeah,
I thought overall the offensive line played its worst game that I've seen
this year. Sure,
I thought
Pamphill was bad.
Yeah,
I thought Pamphill was really
bad.
And
I think the Saints' stunts gave them a hard time. The communication was off. But again, you're adding a new right tackle,
which shouldn't. Now on that side in particular, they ran a couple tech stunts that, you know, it looked like they just did Olays on it. But again, I think that was communication between Goss and Marpet on that. And on one of those plays, Che pointed out it looked like. And I think I think New Orleans got called for it at one point, a defensive holding.
Yeah.
And they did that throughout the game where they were holding on to Marpet where he couldn't release. And, you know, and that kind of made things look worse than it was.
It's a double-edged sword of those jerseys they wear. They don't want people to be able to get a hold of them, but it also masks defensive holding.
Yeah.
Because you don't see the jersey
pull. There's no stretch, yeah.
Now, one of the things in the chat room that Dory just brought up, when you're having these problems...
Dory LeBlanc or Brian Dory?
Both of them. They're saying the same thing.
Oh, good.
They're co-located currently.
Dory from The Little Mermaid.
In a weird twist,
Dory
Matt...
was from Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo, whatever.
Or Finding
LeBlanc
Dory.
Was with them as well to carry on the domino-like name world.
Matt LeBlanc. Good call.
And
they're using a LeBlanc pen. Is that right?
Mount Blanc.
Yes.
Or Mont Blanc.
Oh, well. Never mind.
Dude, you're from Plant City. You know that.
We just got Bix.
Exactly. So... one of the things you do when the defense is able to stack the box and your running backs can't find room is you spread them out. That's typically, and we talk about it on the show all the time, you go to four wides. Even if it's not four wides, four receivers, four specials out there, right? Skills. The Bucs did that in the first half, and you know what the Saints did? They didn't give a damn. They would leave two guys completely uncovered, stay in their base, and stack the box. And we did nothing, nothing whatsoever right. to take advantage of it. Now, I don't know whether that's because Dirk doesn't allow Jameis to make those adjustments at the line or whether Jameis isn't comfortable doing it. I mean, it could be one of both, but it was astonishingly obvious when we would line up. You'd see these guys uncovered, and typically you see a slot uncovered. You're like, okay, they're in zone. They've got a backer down. They're going to rotate a safety over, whatever. No, they just didn't care.
Well, I can tell you, and this was brought up in one of the Monday mailbags I did a couple weeks ago. So I... reached out to somebody in the front office, and Jameis has a tremendous amount of flexibility to change things up there. Again, at times, as this person said, you can't necessarily if you've got your jumbo package in,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a blocking fullback, you've got two tight ends, and you call a running play, you can't switch that to hey, we're going to run a three man route combination and send somebody deep. Again, it depends on the personnel on the field, right? I mean, if Allen Cross is the guy stretched out wide, you're not calling for even if he's got a linebacker on him, you're not saying, hey, you go deep on this, running a go route. So, sometimes it depends on the personnel. But you're right, there are times where I think Jameis plays it a little safe at times.
Absolutely.
And right now that's working okay. But this person said one of the reasons they love Jameis Winston was his, and Dirk loves him, is his recall, his ability to understand, remember what he saw on film, and know where the right place is in those situations. For whatever reason, in that game, didn't see a lot of that, but it may have been that was the thing. Listen, the way the defense was playing, let's not take any chances. Let's just let's run the play that's called and see what happens. But and Jameis doesn't want to make any mistakes right now, and we talked about that earlier. There's a fine line between handcuffing this guy and stressing not turnovers and taking away his aggressiveness. And, he's still trying to find that balance, I believe. But as long as it's working right now, I don't think we're going to see Jameis do anything crazy.
I think you're going to see a slight turn to the dial, right? And you said it really well there, that careful approach. Mm-hmm. He's still taking shots. He's still making the throw every once in a while that you go, no, yes.
Right.
But when you had that opportunity, this wasn't – and the situation your front office person said is a very good one, right? You're not going to go out of jumbo and then get into five wides and run all verts. You're just not going to do that. That makes sense. But this is a situation where you've got Martino or one of the other random wide receivers, Huff or whoever, lined up, essentially at the Y, and no one in front of them. All you got to do is check the outside receiver to a 9, and the flat is there. Just throw the ball out there. Kick it out there. Rugby toss it.
But you mentioned Huff and you mentioned Martino, though, two guys that don't have a lot of experience right now, too. So the confidence
Martino
level in those guys.
There's no excuse. I get Huff, but there's no excuse on Martino.
Yeah,
he's played enough. He's got to be able to do it.
Probably not.
But regardless, the game was won, right?
Sure.
1 point, 100 points, doesn't matter. Jameis did enough to get the job done. The running backs did a good job. The defense, however, was really the star of this show. So when you look at what's going on the defense, the pressure was there, able to get pressure on the quarterback. The linebackers kept their depth. The secondary, though, right? Keith Tandy has been the name that you got to be talking about because, first of all, Chris Conte had the anti-Chris Conte club for some good reasons. Now, some of that was because the linebackers weren't playing well and Chris Conte was getting smacked in the mouth all day. But Keith Tandy stepped up, next man up, and has played out of his damn mind. How excited must this kid be?
Well, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Chris.
Well, I was going to throw a question to you because he's playing so well that with Conte coming back from the injury, a lot of fans are throwing out the question, does Conte come back into the lineup? Does Keith Tandy lose his job? I mean, how's it going to
work out? Mike
Smith
said today, football IQ on that defense, Keith Tandy might be the smartest guy. There's a reason, though, Chris Conte as a starter, and it comes down to athletic ability. Keith Tandy isn't as athletic as Chris Conte as far as, you know, being able to move across the field, but he is very intelligent. So that's a fine line, and that's what the coaches have to decide.
It's a West Virginia education.
Do we want to put Tandy there, or do we want to or do we bring Chris back in the fold? Do you lose your job because of injury? That old age-old question in football.
It's so funny that question always comes up. It's usually around a quarterback. You lose your job because someone's playing well. I think the hot hand is the right call. You go with the hot hand. I'd stick with Tandy, not because I don't like Conte. I do. But right now, I'm not going to interrupt. That's like someone who just made 78 free throws. Do you want to call timeout and let him rest his arm? No.
It was similar to
Keep shooting.
It's similar to the situation last year when Evan Smith went down. Joe Hawley came in and the team started playing better. And it's like, well, I mean, there's no reason to put Evan Smith back in. Hawley's got a good chemistry with Jameis. Let's let him ride it out. And he's been the starter ever since.
Brandon in the chat room, I don't believe we do have a package with both of them at the same time, which is a fair question, to be honest, because we don't have a lot of safety talent in general. The fact they should be able to play in both of those spots is a good point, and it's something we should look into in the off this week. Bring back Myron Lewis. Stop it, Rama. That's a good reference, though. Vanderbilt in the house, though not a safety. I like the call. There was another question about Jacquizz Rodgers on swing passes. I don't want to ignore that one. Jacquizz Rodgers getting a lot of play. You guys know we love Jacquizz Rodgers. He needs to get his opportunities, no doubt. But there's a lot of talent at that running back position. Three of those guys, right? Quiz, Doug Martin, Charles Sims, all excellent receivers out of the backfield. Whether it's a swing pass, whether you go ahead and flex them out there before the snap, you've got all sorts of opportunities to get them in the passing game. And Chris, you mentioned it earlier. Yeah. You can chip with those backs and have them go on an option route where they come off the end of the line, and it's a matter of read the linebacker, break it to the inside, break it to the outside, or stop in the middle of the soft zone and let Jameis check it down to you. All of them are capable of doing that.
And I think with Chuck coming back, Chuck Sims, I think it limits the opportunities that we're going to see from Jacquizz. And it's almost, and I hate a guy to lose a bunch of time due to injury, it's almost like Chuck Sims needed that, and he came back and looked really good in the spot
what? He did exactly – that's his role. He played the perfect role, and they used him exactly how they should use him, you know, catching the ball. And they gave him a couple carries, and, again, a little bit different style. They got him outside a little bit on that toss sweep. Here we go.
Good evening.
What's –
All right. Now, only Mark at this point can validate that this is, in fact, our guest of honor. So, Mark, I'm going to toss it over to you to welcome your friend and make some introductions here.
Listen, they're calling us best friends already, Nick. That's not necessarily true, but we are texting buddies.
We are
how about that? Yeah, there
we're
we go.
Acquaintances.
There we go. That's right.
Well, hear how strongly he said that? I'm going to get that drop. Mark, you're acquaintances, man.
Yeah, well, you guys didn't hear the part where he said that, you know, he invited me to come out to Vegas and hang out on the private jet and party during the spring tour. So, he did say all that. I will send you your check in just a few minutes, Nick. But hey, man, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, man. It's awesome to have you on. People have been super excited since we announced yesterday that you were going to be on. So we appreciate you taking a few minutes for this little podcast here in Florida. Although, as I mentioned to you, this is the longest running podcast. Derek was doing this podcast, Nick, before people even understand what the word podcast was. So he's the original and does a tremendous job. So we appreciate you coming on.
Oh man, I'm actually super excited to be able to talk sports. It's funny because, you know, obviously I've been a huge fan of Tampa for so long, but never had an opportunity to really. So like all this stuff is happening recently, and it was so funny. It was like I was on like Good Morning Football. They were like mentioning me on football. Yeah. I'm like I didn't care for all that attention. I'm just like a uber fan that just, you know, loves my team. And finally, we're doing something, and you know, and it's just funny because I'm like one of many. It's like I'll go on like Twitter, and I'll see a lot of the people in Tampa. Like a lot of the fans are like, well, we were fans too, and you know, he's not the only one, and I totally get it, and you know, I think we're just really passionate, and it's just been a long time, man. And it's really a cool time, and I'm excited to talk about it.
And that's the thing. Somebody, I think it was Connor Philpott, tweeted out one of your videos where you're wearing a Hardy Nickerson jersey, back in 2002, a long time ago. So it's not like you're a bandwagon fan. I mean, first of all, let's give a little bit of background. born in New York, but the family moved down here at an early age, and you grew up, around the Ruskin, Apollo Beach area?
Yeah, well, I moved down to Tampa with my family from upstate New York when I was around like 6 years old. And basically it was actually really interesting how I became a Bucks fan, because I was like 6 years old. Okay, you gotta give me a break. So we moved down from upstate New York, like around Buffalo area. So my family, they kind of supported the Bills, you know, like it was like, you know, it was the closest team to sure. Jamestown where we were from. And so when I come down to Tampa and I'm with my dad and everything, and, you know, by association, you know, you're supporting the team that your dad or your family mm-hmm. is like supporting. And so I'm sitting there for like four Super Bowls of watching the Bills lose every single Super Bowl in a row. I'll never forget going to like one of my schools that I went to was a school called Orange Grove in Tampa. It was a junior high school, I think it was. And I'll never forget, actually, even before that, it was Miles Elementary where I went to, because I lived in Carrollwood. Right. I lived all over the place answering your question. I lived in Carrollwood, lived in Ruskin, lived in Lutz. You know, we were kind of like all over the place.
You never lived in Plant City, though, did you?
No, I didn't live in Plant City.
You're missing out, man. You're missing out. There's still time. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, but I lived all over the place. But going back to my story, I'll never forget going to school and everybody had, at this time, it was like everybody had like those puffy starter jackets. And
Derek still has
and
one.
Everybody
love them.
And they were all, and majority of the people were, you know, speaking of the game coming up, they were all the kids were like Cowboys fans. So I'd be like, well, yeah, but my dad and my family, they like the Buffalo Bills, and so I'm a Bills fan. And like, it would be like the freaking laughing stock. So when I got a little bit older, and I started to be able to make up my own mind, you know, around like 10, 11, 12, that's when I really started to support the Bucks back in creamsicle days. And, you know, actually it started because my dad actually went to Sombrero. He was handing out some of the flyers and stuff during the game. And I'll never forget, he brought some of those back home. And then I'll never forget seeing like, you know, the team, and I just fell in love with them. And obviously went through all those years, you know, before Tony Dungy, you know, supporting them even during that time. And, you know, saw the transitions. I mean, there's so many stories and so many things that kind of intertwine, you know, in my life when it comes to the football teams. I could literally talk with you guys forever about it, and there's probably somebody, I'm sure you wouldn't want to hear it, but really that's how it kind of, the evolution of being a fan. And then actually even further than that, when I started the entertainment business, there was a dance school called Carl and DeMarco, which was in, what I did was, I went to dance class there, and they formed the lady there. Her name was Sandy Carl. She actually sure. was in charge of the cheerleaders. So she was during the Sombrero days, they were doing the whole halftime. So they would choreograph all the cheerleaders, and then I became a part of the halftime show. I don't even know if there's footage out there or pictures, but when I was around like 11 or 12 years old, I was performing the halftimes in Sombrero. So, you know, and I'll never forget. I mean, there was just so many things. And as you know, I can almost, like I said in some stories, you know, kind of give, you know, attribute a lot of the things that I've gone through, you know, with the team and the performing and all those things. So it's a part of me. It always has been. And so that's why I'm really passionate.
Well, Nick, you know, I'm a writer. So when you decide to write your memoirs, I'll be your ghostwriter on that book. We can get together and do that if you don't mind. I'd be happy to do that.
We'll get someone to spell check cook. Nick, I can appreciate the orange colors. I wore the orange toboggan. I went to school in Polk County, and you've been in Florida long enough to know to make fun of Polk County. So
I live there.
The little chubby kid wearing the orange toboggan at school was not necessarily the most popular kid. But that being said, we've got some video people who I'm sure if video exists of those halftime shows will find it. But how have you fast-forwarded your fandom now? You're on the West Coast. You're doing big things out there. How do you watch a game? The fans have really started to come back out of the woodwork. We're selling out the stadium. They're loud. How do you watch, like, the Dallas game this week? Where are you going to watch the Dallas game? Not because someone's stalking you, which, by the way, there's a lot of cats out there stalking you on Twitter, in case you didn't know it. How are you going to watch? How do you watch the game on Sundays?
The thing is that, you know, the reason why first of all, before I get to that, like last year I flew into Tampa and, you know, from the West Coast to watch, I think it was the Bengals game. So we had watched, we came in, watch the game there. So whenever I can get to the stadium and watch some games, I'll totally do that. But, you know, I have been on the road with the Backstreet Boys, and we just got this this Vegas residency that is coming upon us right now. And so we're preparing for that. So it's obviously going to be on the West Coast. So, you know, when it's interesting because for me, you know, I'm such a football fanatic, you know, that it's lucky for me on the West Coast because I get to wake up and games start at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So I don't have to actually wait till one. So I feel like I get a little treat there, you know.
Sure.
But as far as like the Dallas game, I'm actually going to be going, I'm doing like a little ski trip. So I'm going to come down like from the mountain, and thank God we're going to have prime time television. So I could probably go to a local sports bar and watch the game.
Few things better.
On my Sunday ticket or something like that on my computer.
I imagine it's one of the times where things are very normal for you when you walk into a random, you know, town sports bar and you're like, hey, can I get the Bucks on TV 4? Like, who watches the Bucks? Well, they're playing the Cowboys. Put it on the damn TV.
Especially on the West Coast.
Yeah, they're too busy watching crap football. I agree.
Oh, no. Like, I am definitely a minority out here. I'll tell you that.
Speaking of that, do you ever get crap from other performers? Like, I don't know the people you hang out with. Of course, as a non-performer, I assume you hang out with nothing but famous people. And Mark, right. Yeah. So it's famous people and then Mark Cook. So he has to sit in the worst seat on the G6. He sits in the back next to the bathroom.
It's all right.
But when you're sitting with hanging with those guys and they're all talking about sports and you're talking about normal things that normal humans do, do people go, seriously, Nick, the Bucks? I mean, really, that's the jacket you're going to wear today?
Well, you know what? I've had that for the past, okay, how many years, went through the, no matter what years or what generation or what coach was behind, I was constantly wearing, you know, my jerseys, constantly supporting them. I mean, you can go back on my timeline, on my Twitters, and you can see it. But, you know, I've gone through, starting before, you know, Tony Dungy, you know, going into the Gruden era, then going into the Raheem Morris era, then going into the Greg Schiano era, and then
we don't talk about that.
and then the Levy Smith era, and now, you know, the Dirk Cutter era, which I honestly, I love the guy. I can't speak enough about him. I can't speak how much I just think that he's just got that edge and that fire that's been needed, and I like. So anyways, no matter where I'm at and what I'm doing, I'm constantly the person who was, oh really? Like, yeah, you're a Bucks fan? Okay, let's talk about the Cowboys. Or let's talk about somebody else. Like, you know, which ironic is coming up.
Well, if you do fly down for another game, I'll liaise through Mark, and you're welcome to come to our tailgate. We run a pretty good tailgate down here. We'd love to have you there. I know you need to do some things, but if we could get you there, it would be awesome. But then
sit in the Pewter Report suite, Nick. You don't sit in the stands. No. You just be sitting in the Pewter Report
suite. The Pewter Report suite.
Oh, absolutely. We've invited you for two years.
I love it.
Come on.
I love it, Nick. Just like, well, you guys have a suite?
Wow.
You must be kidding me.
Yes. I don't have any money, but our owner does.
I want to be in that suite.
Anytime. It's open for you whenever you want to come.
Look at that. Now, Nick, now that we got you lined up.
Okay, here's the deal. You let me in your suite, and then I'll get you some tickets to the Vegas residency.
Done deal. It's already over. Listen, I'm going to be in Vegas next spring, whether I get you in the suite or not, but you can come to the suite anytime. Yes, absolutely. Hey, how about we make a deal? The Bucks make it to the playoffs. You come to the first game in the suite for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
It works out schedule-wise.
I'll tell you this right now. We make it to the playoffs. I'm going to be there with bells, whistles. I will be the craziest looking mascot you'll ever see.
Well, I'll tell you what.
There was some talk, and I don't know, you know, if it's a for sure thing, but there was some talks about me potentially maybe doing some sort of performance.
Halftime.
Nice.
Maybe the national anthem. I don't know.
Well, we'll got to get you on the phone with Jason Light, get some stuff done.
I sent you that picture earlier today, and Cliff told me that was a picture of you doing the national anthem at a night game, but he can't remember if it was just you or if it was the whole band. He can't remember either.
I think it was just me because I talked to Kevin, a couple of the guys in my band, and I showed them a picture because we were just up in Chicago doing some radio shows, and I showed Kevin the picture, and he said, "Now that's not the same outfit or wardrobe that we were wearing." Because we had done the Super Bowl, we did the national anthem at the Super Bowl in Raymond James, which is a whole nother story I can tell you about, which is one of my favorite stories ever. But yeah, it wasn't the same. So I must have performed, which I totally forgot, at a completely separate game.
Well, you know, people tell me I look a lot like you, Nick. So it may have been me performing. I'm not sure. But I don't have that corduroy jacket, so that probably wasn't me.
I also think Nick is also taller than
earrings me. And I'm like, okay, that definitely was, you know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, Nick, we want to be cautious of your time because I know you've got a lot of stuff going on out there, so we don't keep you too long. But this week against Dallas, this is a chance for our team who's now won 5 games in a row. They're now the darling of the NFL in a lot of ways. What are you looking forward to see this week? What do you feel? Put your fan hat on, which you've had on the whole interview, by the way. It's exciting to hear the sound of your voice with it. But what are you looking at? What are you going to see this week? Become the prognosticator, right? Put the little Karnak thing on and tell us what you're going to see happening this week or what I'm going to see because I'm going to Dallas for the game.
Geez. Well, first of all, just so you understand, like, I'm one of the most superstitious guys in the world. I'll never forget, I was really heartbroken. I'll never forget it. It was, we were with Gruden and we went to the playoffs and we were playing, we had Jeff Garcia as the quarterback, and we were playing the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that game.
I was vividly.
And yes. I'm sure that was the last time, like, I think that was the last time we were in the playoffs, if I'm correct.
It is.
Yeah.
And I literally was so heartbroken. I had an orange Mike Allstott jersey on. I'll never forget. I had this orange, you know, the creamsicle jersey on, and I took it off, and I'm just very superstitious is what I'm trying to say. So I hate to make predictions and say anything. And I'm kind of like sitting there wondering. At the same time, I feel that this is a moment for us to man up, you know, and I think that would be, I think, how I'd like to categorize what needs to happen. It's time to step up.
This is a statement game is what you're saying, right? This is a statement to the rest of the nation. Sure.
This is a man up game. This is a step up game. This is our time to evolve, to make that step. And if I was to see what was going to happen, what I would hope to happen is that the, I think I was reading this article today. First of all, before I get into it, I just hope that we can, number one, shut down the running game of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Because if we can eliminate that and make them sort of one-dimensional and put it on the pass, I think that our secondary, I think if we get pressure up front and at the same time, which I feel was one of our strengths, which was stopping the run, mm-hmm. you know, and if we can do that, then, and we can command the game and we can, you know, keep it a low score. I'd like to see an old-fashioned Bucs score. That's what I want to see. Hard-nosed football. I mean, look, we love Evans. We love Jameis. We want to see him throw it. But we want to win this game. And the statement is win it, play hard-nosed football, grind it, pound it, you know, and dominate the time of possession. That's what I want to see. And, you know, I want to have control of the game. And I think if we can do that, we're going to win. I think.
Heck of an evaluation, Nick. I want to make sure everyone out there listening to What the Buck, I appreciate you calling in here. I know you got a lot of stuff going on the West Coast. Is there stuff you want to tell the Bucks fans? Because we got an interesting cross-section here. When I was watching Twitter blow up when Mark talked about you coming on the show.
Yeah, sorry about that, Nick. I probably shouldn't have put at Nick Carter. Your Twitter absolutely went nuts.
No, that's fine.
I'm pretty sure he gets these kind of mentions all the time.
Yeah, true.
It was big for us. Nick probably didn't even notice it, but I was in a bar, and I was like, holy crap, look, people are paying attention to us. But, you know, we've got your huge fan base. We got this Bucks fan base. We got the Venn diagram of the two of them coming together. And I'm watching Twitter now, and it's an amazing overlap. Like, I would have thought they were disparate groups. They're not. So tell the people who maybe aren't familiar with all the things you've been doing with Backstreet since the heyday, right? Which, because I grew up in the middle of that. What's going on now? How can they get involved? I have a list of all of the songs allegedly done by Backstreet, because I was going to try and work them all into our interview. And there were 355. You guys have put out a lot of material. What's going on now? How can they get to you?
Okay, so, I mean, we've been together now for 24 years. That's a long time, but still fairly young. I'm only 36 years old, so. And, you know, we're going on our 10th album, which we are recording at the moment. We're starting that whole process at the same time as preparing for our Vegas residency show, which that starts in March. So March 1st out in Vegas, we'll be there March, April, June, and then potentially some more shows will be added on later on. We'll see how that goes. So we're really focused right now on putting together a show with, you know, thankfully we've had a lot of great songs and hits over the past so many years. I Want It That Way, Larger Than Life, Quit Playing Games. I mean, we have a lot of great songs. And so we're going to create this show that people can come and kind of like relive their sort of their youth, their have fun again, a night out with us, celebrate, party in Vegas, just a really great time. And so we're focused on putting together a great show that'll just bring you back a little bit and just take you away from all the drama that's happening in the world, you know, and have a great time. And so we're going to take our catalog and put together this huge show. The show is called Larger Than Life.
Makes sense.
The thing is that out in Vegas right now, it is a place where it's just booming. It's exploding. There's, you got Britney out there right now doing shows. You have J-Lo doing shows. You know, it's the hot spot to be. So we're really fortunate that we're going to be out there. And so we're going to put together our show, kick that off in March, and then follow up with some singles, some shows. We're going to go on tour, and then some albums, and we're just keeping it going. So, we've been here. We've been kind of doing our thing for quite some time now, but now the eyes are kind of focused back on us again, and we're ready to bring it to the top. So we're excited. We got a lot of great things happening.
It sounds amazing. And like I said, for my generation, because I grew up in that heyday, I'm older than you are, but that was the, you know, the boy, and I don't know whether it's considered a pejorative or not, but the boy band revolution, right? Because I grew up with New Edition, and then you had that revolution again where it came right back out. And of course, you know, as a young smartass, you know, I always wondered if you guys and, like, you know, NSYNC would get into fights, or, you know, you'd talk shit about 98 yeah. Degrees, because it was fun, right? But the music was always fun. And when I was looking through the list of titles, I was astonished how many of them I knew. So it's great that you've got that going on. And now, you know, I didn't put it together with Britney and J-Lo and you guys out there. Now I know exactly why the damn Raiders are going out there, because that's where all the entertainers are. So,
yeah, no, I know it's no disrespect, but I am not a Raiders fan. So
no disrespect at all. I'm not a Raiders fan either. So it's all good stuff. So, we know a lot of good fans out there, but the team stinks. We hate them.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be out there, whatever. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I could be over in Europe. I'll still be a Bucks fan. Hey, before I go, I have to tell you this story real quick.
Sure.
So
we're not ever kicking you off the phone, man. You have as much time as you want.
We're
as a podcast.
We're unlimited. This isn't real radio.
I got to get it out, because it affected me and still affects me to this day. So we were, I can't remember. I think it had to be 99 or whatever, right before we performed the national anthem at the Super Bowl. I can't remember which season it was. And I know I was turning 21 the Super Bowl was at Raymond James Stadium, and that was my hometown. And I so badly wanted the Bucks to be in the Super Bowl, to be the first team to ever.
Was that
the Ravens Super Bowl when Dilfer came back, right?
Yeah.
And that was the one, and that it burned me so bad to have Dilfer on that Baltimore Ravens team, even though I was at the time, because Dilfer, I thought he had some good years, you know. Yeah. I did. I thought he was playing fairly well with us, you know. And then, we trade him, and then he comes back to Tampa, and it would have, I guess what I'm trying to say, it would have topped off the most perfect scenario for me, because it was my birthday. I was turning 21 years old on January 28th. All right. We were performing in the Super Bowl doing the national anthem, and I so badly wanted our team to be there. So I was up in the booth. All right. And I was, okay, I'd say this. I had a Trent Dilfer jersey on. And I was cheering for
you were
Trent
the one.
Because I felt so bad that he got cut. But at the same time, it was ironic that he came back and won a Super Bowl. So I was happy for him. But at the same time, it was bittersweet because I so badly wanted the Bucks to be in that Super Bowl.
And I think that was that 2001 or 2003? Yeah, okay. I knew it was the year either before or right after that they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
close.
Yes, exactly.
So close.
I thought we were so close because that was a great season for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we had a nice run, and I think fans are now hoping that we're on the beginning of the precipice of another run like that. You got to stack one before you can get 10 of them, but it certainly feels good to be a Bucks fan again. And, Nick, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Like I said, I can't believe you came on. Mark, thank you for arranging it. And anytime you want to come on, you got open invite. You know, we do Bucks Talk all the time. We'd love to have you. You're obviously a legit fan, so we'll definitely have you back anytime, man.
Absolutely, man. And you know what? Let's like I said, I think Cutter's right about one thing. You know, we gotta show up to the stadium. We gotta be there. I mean, it has to be the loudest place, you know, in that we can make it. You know, we got the community's got to be there. Got to support it. Now, the team has done everything they can up to this point. Now we need to bring some more support. We got to all be there. You know, we got to be united. Tampa has to be united as the Bucks fans that team needs. And so let's do it. That's all I can say.
We're doing our part, man. And if you ever want to come down and be part of the Body Buck fan, we'll welcome you with open arms and get you in Mark's swanky suite.
Yeah, it's not that swanky, but it's a nice suite, Nick.
It is.
Yeah, you'll dig it. But you have an open invite anytime, man, for sure.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
take care. Guys. Have a good evening, Nick.
Appreciate it, Nick. Thanks, bud.
All right, later.
You know, just a little podcast here in Tampa. That's all.
Yeah.
Just a little podcast with Nick Carter on. Thanks to Mark Cook of PewterReport.com. Big shout out to you.
Let me give a lot of credit to Scott because Scott actually reached out to him a couple years ago knowing he was a Buccaneers fan. And I actually reposted that article that Scott did. I put it up today. So if people want to go to the website, they can kind of read some of these things that Nick talked about. But his early days performing at the Big Sombrero and things like that. So that story's up now if people want to go check that out. So, you know, I just piggybacked off of Scott a little bit. Now you're piggybacking off me. But the difference between me and Scott is I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to continue to stalk Nick Carter for the rest of my life or until he blocks me.
Listen, he clearly is tolerant of that based on the Twitter stuff that I've seen already. He is a very patient young man.
Yeah, he's a patient young
man. So
how many people sitting around the table have won a karaoke contest by singing Everybody by the Backstreet Boys? Raise your hand.
It's go ahead, Chris.
It's just me.
Well, let's hear it then.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I haven't. No.
Good stuff.
I wanted to ask him who sings the first verse of Incomplete because it's so good. I think it's AJ.
Wow, you know names of the other guys.
The entire collection.
Howie, AJ, come on, Kevin, please.
Lance Bass.
Kidding me?
Oh, sorry.
Wait a minute. No.
Although I am a big 98.
He was my favorite.
I'm a 98 Degrees guy.
I'm a Nick Lachey man.
Nick Lachey is, we're going to have to talk after the show.
He's a good looking
dude. I don't think you guys want to talk after the show. I think...
Is the pool heated?
There's a character.
It will be soon.
Is the hot tub ready?
We do have a character on my other show that is called Sad Lachey. Sad Nick Lachey.
Oh,
he
stuff.
Calls into our show.
Well, anytime he sees a picture of Jessica Simpson, he's probably pretty sad.
I'm very happy every time I see a picture of Jessica Simpson.
Oh, I am too. But he doesn't get that anymore.
That was his choice.
I'm saying it's not like he's downgraded that much.
He's not dating you. He's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back to our show. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys game, predictions, keys to the game, all that sort of stuff. If you guys have questions, drop in the chat room. We'll do that. We're going to do, you know, it feels interesting. We should do the Swords and Skulls from the previous game. We haven't done it yet. But I'm trying to think about, I mean, it other than the offensive line, I don't know that anyone stood out. A lot of people were on Josh Huff's ass about the scrub out of bounds. But these things happen, right?
Yeah, Dirk said today, you know, it's a bad bounce.
It happens.
You're a shortstop. It takes a bad hop at the clay in the grass. I mean, it's, you know.
Did you guys see anyone else that stood out?
Although, I will say, I've never seen that happen before. I mean, I have never in my life of 46 years watching football, watching a ball bounce off someone's face mask and then going out at the half-yard line. I have actually never seen that.
That ball did like a defensive lineman. It got skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It got skinny and just slid in front of the pylon. Because if it was a normal-sized football, I bet it was deflated. Was Tom Brady in the stadium?
Possibly.
It was deflated and it slid right around the corner of the pylon. Oversell Podcast says, Sword Robert Ayers, who's been bawling his ass off. And that's absolutely something between he and Mac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clay McDonald and Robert Ayers. And Will Golson, all these guys have been stepping up. They've been getting the additional play in time. And now it's starting. It's bearing fruit. Because now that we got all the starters back, well, not all of them, but many of them, these guys who were forced into duty early are now able to be playing not gassed all the time. And they're able to pin their ears back and do some real work. It's really nice to see what's happening. That defensive line start to become what they'd hoped it would be.
Jay Hayes has done a really good job with that line. Really
phenomenal work. So, and hopefully Jay has looked at what the Giants did and can draw up some things that will confuse that Cowboys offensive line that heretofore had been considered unbeatable. So, Thomas in the chat room is pimping his own articles. You cannot self-promote like that, Thomas, especially if you don't have an icon next to your name in a chat room. Come on.
Mine would terrible. Go to McCoy and Robert Harris. Split it right down the middle for the you're saying who stood out. I'm going with those two.
Who gets the Numbskull Award?
I'm going Pam Phil on that. I think his worst
game. Yeah, I would jump on Gosser. I would jump on Gosser.
Definitely. I literally wouldn't jump on him. I saw him in the locker room today, and I was like,
he's not small.
Yeah, I'm glad he's not. I'm glad he wasn't able to read my mind during that game, because if he did, he would have pounded me into the dirt today. But
listen,
I think it could have got away from him.
If you had landed a punch on him, Joe Hawley would have hit you from behind.
That's true.
And like I said, Joe Hawley.
All I would have had to do is run a text stun, though, and I would have just been able to sneak right out of the locker room.
Just say text.
Him and Mark Pett would turn around.
If you say text, he would have just fallen over.
Yeah.
He would look like Blue from Old School.
Funny thing Poor is, guy. If any of us three suited up and went one-on-one with that guy,
he would destroy us.
He would beat the hell
They're
out of us.
They're not human. Yeah. We know that. They're
right.
not human.
No.
We talk about it all the time. I know
Cyborgs.
That it falls on deaf ears sometimes. All right, let's talk a little bit about Dallas. Dak Prescott, the darling, up until last week, and just to talk about how fickle football fans can be, and not just ours. We certainly beat up on ours from time to time. There were calls for Tony Romo.
What you got to love as a Bucs fan. Get people talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, who's the quarterback? Who's going to play quarterback? What's going to happen? We got to get Tony Romo in here. But you get a guy who's doing so well. Then you got Zeke out there doing work, and the offensive line all of a sudden looks human against the Giants. Now, the Giants are a great defense. I thought it was great. There was a good interview with Odell Beckham. And he made a comment about how great the defense has been. He's like, listen, this has been a championship defense here.
Yep.
Every once in a while, the offense steps up, the special teams step up, but the defense has been this way. It's our responsibility to play up to their level.
Yep.
Now, the question becomes, can our defense play up to that level?
I think there's a good shot this weekend, and I know Mark earlier mentioned Dez, but I think starting left tackle Tyron Smith, also did not participate in practice today.
Correct.
He's been dealing with a nagging back all season. To me, that's more key because they are not very deep on that offensive line. I know Chaz Green has been in and out with injury too. I don't know anyone who is listed behind Tyron Smith at left tackle. And if there is one weakness on that offensive line, it's not in the interior. It's Doug Free. And then if Tyron Smith is beat up with his back, I think that's where the Bucs can take the advantage, is on the edge, especially with Noah Spence and wherever they line up airs.
The trick becomes, and I don't know, you know, with Dak's stats, because I don't watch a lot of Cowboys. You're right, they're on all the time, but I don't watch them in depth.
Yeah.
Dak is, I hate calling him a mobile quarterback because it seems to paint him with a very narrow brush, and I think he's more talented than that. But he has mobility.
He's got escapability.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure you don't let him hurt you with that.
Sure.
Right. So you can't just send your guys on bookends, force him up, and then not worry about where the hell he goes, because he's going to come out the middle and run for 25 yards. Right. His rushing statistics are pretty impressive.
Right.
And it's not because he's out there pulling a Michael Vick.
Sure.
He's opportunistically gaining ground.
But the thing that the Bucs do have is speed with Levante and Kwan at the linebacker position, where hopefully they can limit those rushing gains.
Tom Brooks, who's been very good in the chat room, by the way. I'm not sure, Tom, I haven't seen you in the chat room before, but you're doing a hell of a job. Mentioned that Minnesota had done a great job against Dak as well from a defensive perspective. So
they did a great job against pretty much everyone.
They're a really good defense, right?
Yeah,
so the question becomes, but good defense aside, what'll happen is we'll find that there are nuggets. There are things they do in common, whether it's a tactic, whether they spy or they don't spy, how they control that front seven becomes an interesting thing as to how you're able to control that, as well as how do you make sure that Zeke doesn't go run for 250 yards on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Nick said, you know, we're so down now because I talked to him for 20 minutes. Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, what else are you going to call him? Mr. Carter?
Mr. Carter. So when Nick called in earlier, his point about not letting Elliot
Your son,
run
Nick?
No, my son Nick's in bed, not on the phone with us.
No, he's not. I just saw him.
Oh, he's not?
I'm just kidding.
He should be in bed. I was gonna tell him sternly he should go to bed, is what I was going to say, if CPS is listening.
I like to get kids in trouble.
At any rate, you've got to make sure that you don't let this guy run roughshod. Now, on the flip side of that, whoever the hell we line up at offensive line, and I say that because I keep thinking that DeMar Dotson might wake up and be able to count again, he can't.
He's not going to play.
I know. No. Damn it. We've got to make sure that whoever runs the ball, and I think it should be Doug, and we're gonna take a break here in a few minutes once we do our predictions, and we'll come back and do an uncensored call.
Did you see Doug out there? No, but I heard a mini bike. I'm pretty sure that's on him. He was doing donuts. It sounded like he was doing donuts in your front yard.
Listen, man, we have a homeowner association. We can't have that crap out there.
Jesus.
Would you beep him so he can call?
Yeah, I got it. Do you have a AA battery?
That's
all I need.
My wife's drawer. See,
well, those are D's.
D. Learn to speak English first. Anyone who knows that movie reference, you're my hero, by the way. So anyway, our offensive line has got to provide that running game because the play action game is where Jameis excels. When we go to essentially two routes deep off play action, Jameis is making people pay. Mike is making people pay. So offensive line assistance from the running or the tight ends like Luke Stocker coming back is great. Your brother, son, cousin, whatever we're calling Cross these days.
Older brother.
Sure.
No. Oh, I'm his older brother.
We got to get that running game going. What do you guys think? Keys to the victory, keys to the game. We don't usually do it that often, but let's talk about that this week. Turnovers have been great. Let's get into that. What do you think we're going to do in Dallas so that Matt and I and all the people are going? We got a bunch of people. Shanisa, P-Dub. We're going to have a nice contingent out there. We want you to hear us without any amplification talking to those Cowboy fans after a victory.
Stopping the run is my thing. Listen, Dax played fine. He is still a fourth-round rookie quarterback. And you know, Mike Smith said it today, that after eight games, you're no longer a rookie. He tells Vernon and those guys, guess what, you're not rookies anymore. But bottom line is, yes, he's still a rookie. There's a lot of things that he hasn't seen. If Mike Smith can confuse Drew Brees, as he did at times yesterday and also on Sunday, he was still confusing him on Wednesday. But if he can confuse him, he can confuse Dak Prescott. Now, again, the home field advantage is going to be huge. Dallas is a tough place to play. Their fans are amped up.
Doesn't seem tough. It's air conditioned.
Well, that's true. It's a pretty nice place from what I understand.
It's going to be 21 degrees outside. It's not 21 inside.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a benefit. But, I mean, it's again, this is a team that's been a road warrior team. They thrive on those adverse conditions and the tough fans. So that doesn't hurt me as much. But look, stop the run. If Prescott somehow beats you, so be it. But if the Buccaneers can keep Elliott under 100 yards, they win this football game. If they do it's a win.
I think if they keep him out of the end zone more than once, they win this game. I'm not too sure about that.
What if he rushes
yards
three times from the 1 yard line and he scores two touchdowns? You still saying that?
Well, then he would only have 1 yard per carry, which means he's not producing.
Yeah. See, he should be benched. Whoever their backup should play.
Yes.
By conventional wisdom.
Right.
I still
YPC.
They should bring DeMarco Murray back.
Dallas doesn't turn the ball over, but they don't get many turnovers on defense either. I think Jameis is due for a big game. I feel it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
I think it's going to be this week. And I think being the most realist, because I don't pick the Bucs to win every week. I look at the matchups and think if they're going to have a good matchup or not. I really like the way that they match up against this Dallas team.
How many turf games have they had this year? I know they had the first game against Atlanta.
They haven't played the Saints on the road yet, so that's coming.
I mean, I think that this team, I mean, I think all teams are a little faster, obviously, on the mm-hmm. fake turf. I think it helps this football team. I think it helps Doug Martin. I think it helps Mike Evans and all these guys. I really do. So, but you're right, Doug. I mean, Jameis is due for a big game. I thought he's played well during the stretch, but yeah, he's definitely due for a big game. And this is the right time for it. I'm a little concerned. He gets a little too amped, as he did at times in big games, even during college, to start the game off. But you know what? He went to Kansas City, started off just fine. Yeah. He played fine against Seattle. They scored two touchdowns on their first two drives against Seattle. So maybe he's lassoed that in a little bit too.
Yeah, I love that the game is on the road. They play phenomenal on the mm-hmm. road. 6-1. Thank you, Scott Smith from the Buccaneers, for throwing out that stat when Doug Martin plays. The one loss was when he went out in the, first quarter, second quarter, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So this team wins when Doug Martin lines up. So I feel good about this game.
Yep.
Well, the turf thing is a good point. I think that we are a fast team, which is all fast teams benefit from that turf. So going out to Dallas, I think that because I am always about grinding it out, it's about running the ball on our side and stopping them from the ball. Their guys are going to catch the ball. But I'm going to give our secondary a chance to get those tips. That pressure, right, those turnovers have got to come. I am hoping that once again we can get out there and surprise the world. Now, there's a lot of people saying Dallas doesn't have much to play for right now in the NFC East.
It's true.
So why are they going to go out there and try and take any risks when the game doesn't mean much to them?
And they have lost to one team this year. They've got two losses, but they have only lost to one team.
Right.
Look, I think what you're saying about the running game, and everyone's talking about the Dallas offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott, how much of a statement game would this be for this offensive line and whatever running back you're going to put right there, use all of them, use Doug, whatever it is.
Yeah, put 175 yards up on them.
Shove it down their throats and have that, because all the focus is going to be on Jameis and Mike Evans like it usually is, and just pound the ball and dominate and keep that Dallas offense off the field.
Yeah, and we always talk about that when you face a powerful quarterback. We used to talk about Brees all the time. We talk about Brady. The best defense against a good offense is making them sit on a bench.
Yep.
Right, and the Bucs have done an amazing job intermittently at just owning clock. Now, what has happened recently is we'll do that for, say, the first 12 minutes or so of the first quarter and part of the second quarter, and then will have those plays. And Mark, you talked about it earlier off the air when you had the muffed kickoff, the safety, and then the punt out of bounds. That series of plays, mm-hmm. Eight games ago for the last 8 years would have been enough. That would have been the thing that Bucks fans went, oh, hell, here we go.
They did, though. They did. If you were on Twitter, they absolutely lost their mind.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, mentally I was thinking the same thing. Well, here's – because you knew – and I tweeted at one point, you got to score touchdowns. Breeze is going to eventually get hot. He never did. Buccaneers defense, again, broke another myth or something that I didn't think they could do, and that's to keep Drew Brees from throwing a touchdown pass in a game. And he hasn't done that two times. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. But they were losing their mind, though, and rightfully so. I mean, again, if you kick a dog every time you get home, eventually he's just going to stay underneath the front porch. He's not going to come out and greet you.
It had the feel of a blowout mm-hmm. game turning into – all the momentum just went out the window, and now you're letting Drew Brees back into this game.
So. Another sign that this is a different football team, though, because, again, in the past, that would have doomed this team. There's no question about it.
When you win four or five games in a row, guess what?
Yeah.
Now this team knows that they can win football games.
Somebody said it on Twitter. Maybe it was on NFL Network. This team is too young and naive to know they're not supposed to win some of these football games that they're winning right now, and that's okay. And they're young and naive enough to not know that they shouldn't go to Dallas and win on Sunday night.
We've talked about the progression to hoping, to believing, mm-hmm. to expecting, right? And they're somewhere on the top end of that curve now, which is great. They're walking in there not just hoping they can make a good showing and maybe they get a chance to win, right? They're going in there and surprised if they're not able on the offensive side of the ball. If the team's not able to move the ball, the offense is pissed about it. They're going back to the lab. They're trying to figure it out. They got their surface tablets out, and they're doing their work. The defense believes they should make big plays now. And they're getting everyone else up. You know, you've heard about the leaders in the locker room, the Robert Ayers, the Clint mm-hmm. McDonalds, and guys on the offensive side, as I understand, in the locker room, getting these guys to realize, listen, you don't have a lot of chances in this league. When you get some stuff together, you've got to take the opportunity now.
Daryl Smith probably had his best game of the year. It went really unnoticed. I don't remember which of the coaching. Maybe it was Dirk who said it. But I talked to him after the game in the locker room Sunday, and you know, this is a guy who's got a wealth of experience, you know, throughout the NFL and with his however many years he's played in the league. We talked about him being a great addition to this football team, not necessarily what he's going to do on the field, because he's only on the field when they're not in nickel, and they're in nickel 60% of the time. So he gets limited reps. But he said, you know, this is a unique team, something a little bit different than what he's seen before during his time in the NFL. He says, but they're just a hungry group of guys. And again, that's a dangerous group of guys. I mean, they don't know better sometimes, and that's good. And you know, he's been one of those guys that provided some leadership. And that's what he said. We've got a really good mix of young, talented football players with some young leaders like Jameis Winston, but also with some older guys who, you know, are kind of keeping the younger guys on an even keel. And he being one of those guys. And you think about that as, you know, when they signed him, you thought, okay, well, that's nice. You know, he had a pretty good career with the Ravens. But you can't underestimate – we do, though, underestimate the value of sometimes of having a guy who's played in the league that long, who's not necessarily going to change things on the football field. But as you mentioned, games are won the other 6 days of the week, really. You know, the preparation and the study and the film work and those kind of things.
21 snaps this week, 34% of the time he was on the field. Hungry Goop is what is my pomade that I put in my hair.
Yeah, and that's the name of my band. I've got a little band. Me and Nuck Nuck are starting a band called the Hungry Goops. And
that sounds terrible.
Yeah,
it's all Backstreet Boys covers.
Yeah,
it's called tributes. Sorry,
exactly. We're tribute
Duh.
Artists. Jeez
Hey,
Louise.
Listen. The other thing we didn't talk about that really improved this game is the tackling.
Mm-hmm.
It's been this sort of, it's like the ugly cousin you don't talk about, right?
Started on the first third down of the Saints.
Absolutely.
When Hargraves comes up, one-on-one with Kuhn, and just wraps him up. Great form tackle. We saw it with, we saw a guy like Javian Elliott who just throws his hat in there against some big guys. And he took some shots. He took the brunt of some of those collisions, but he's not afraid to do that. And that was something that Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter and Jason Light loved about Vernon Hargraves, is he wasn't afraid to put his hat on guys. And cornerbacks a lot of times tend to shy away from that. And they expect their cornerbacks to be physical, and they've been able to do that this year.
All right, let's get to the predictions on offense and defense. Predictive MVPs. Mark, you lead us off.
I'm going Winston all the way. Big game, four touchdowns. I'm just kidding, not four, but he's going to have a good game.
Winston on offense, who on defense?
I think I picked Vernon last week.
You did.
It took me 14 weeks, but he finally got that first interception.
There you go.
But I'm going to go with Robert Ayers in this game. I think he's going to have a big impact. on the rookie quarterback.
I like it. I like it. Chris?
Offense. Chuck Sims gets a touchdown this week. Breaks one big play.
I like it.
Wait for my defense. Get ready. You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Ryan Russell.
Shut up.
One strip sack.
Turn his microphone off.
No, I'm telling you. Crack. Look, I don't care. It's called having a pair and throwing a name
out
there.
No, it's called I'm trying to be different than everybody else.
No, it's making one play, going back to the team that let him go. Thank you very much. Returning back one strip sack on Dak forces a turnover. The one play he makes the entire game,
okay.
In the 10 snaps he gets, he makes a play.
Brian, I know, man. You've been
Thank
Ryan
you, Chris Russell.
He did. I like it. I like it. He's getting the payola from Ryan Russell.
Well, I take Gerald McCoy every week. All right, there you go. I mixed it up.
Yeah,
you
did. You definitely mixed it up. I mean,
it's good stuff.
If you didn't call Levante Lambert,
guess what?
At least. That's true.
I'm with Brian Dory on this one. I think Will Golston's going to have a similar impact. I love what Will does. I don't pick him every week. I pick Quan Alexander, but I thought he played well enough last week that I don't have to continue to pick him to move him along. So now my job is done there. Really, I've gotten that moving.
Thank you.
So thankfully, I can move on.
We're talking about Quan.
And listen, hey, Will Golston needs to get paid, guys. So when you're back at One Buck Place, make sure you talk to the bean counters. Tell them to get that contract ready. Will's done enough. Get him paid.
They're
keep
working.
Him here.
Yeah, Good. But then he won't show up next year because it's not a contract
year. That's right. It's not a contract year because you don't play after that. We're teasing the next show, everybody. Those little jokes. We're teasing it. We're going to have another show after this where we make fun of a lot of people. So Golston on offense, I think I'm going to go with Cam Brate because I like tight ends and I cannot lie because Cam Brate is awesome and because they're going to bracket Mike Evans because they will be damned if they will let Mike Evans beat them in Dallas. Jerry Jones, his pride will not allow that. Well, he doesn't call the plays, old school. I don't care. They're not going to let Mike Evans beat him.
Yeah, I almost went with him as my guy because he's really been shut down the last 2 weeks and he's getting pissed and you know, I think having Humphreys is going to help a little bit. He's no Cole Beasley. Let's not get crazy. But
they're both white.
It wouldn't
and they
surprise
wear 11.
Me. Yes. It wouldn't surprise me to see Mike Evans have a big game. I understand what you're saying. They're certainly going to try and shut him down, but he's so good that I think he's getting close to being able to. You know what?
Still,
you can put two guys on me and
still
I'm still
Debo,
going
and I don't disagree, right? And that's not a slight to Mike, mm-hmm. right? But what this team has seemed to do is realize that it's not about Mike getting his stats. It's about the team winning. So if they're going to bracket him, if there's an opportunity to take your shot, they're going to take it. And the Bucs have proven they will. They'll give Mike a chance to go make a spectacular play. But if that draws the coverage away so you can run that skinny post to Cam Brate, right, then go run it. Cam Brate doesn't drop the ball except for the one he dropped on third down conversion, which made my heart break.
Well, he dropped one in Jacksonville in the preseason.
Oh, I don't care about that.
I do. I just haven't let him forget that.
Well, that's nice. So I've got Cam Brate. And I've got Will Golston. Let's go with our predictions for the game. I'll lead us off. The Bucs come back with a win. You hear Matt and I over the TV broadcast without amplification, screaming at Cowboys fans, jumping in jubilation after a 27-17 Buccaneers victory.
Wow. Go ahead.
By the way, Ron Russell played the 38% of the snap, so it's not that crazy. All right.
Yeah, we hurt his feelings with that.
Yeah, come on now. It's called.
You haven't been interrupting him tonight at all.
I know.
He's very sensitive.
Man.
I'm trying to interrupt him, especially in the Nick interview. 24.
It was impossible.
24-20 bucks.
Yeah, was it possible? I didn't talk. Derek did.
24-20
bucks.
And Brian Anger hits the old Jerry.
He breaks it. There you go. He breaks it, drops the mic, and walks off.
I'm going to go along with my new BFF, Nick Carter, and go with a low-score game.
5-2?
No, I'm going to go 14-5.
How do you go Jameis and then
I'm
low
gonna
score?
I'm going to go 17-16. I think Jameis is going to throw the ball over the place. I think there's going to be some.
Did you say 17-16?
17-16.
Okay. A nail-biter.
Buccaneers.
As it were.
Right.
All right, I want to thank Nick Carter for joining the show. I want to thank Nick Carter's fans who came out in droves, which was awesome. It was awesome having new people in the chat room.
I want to thank anybody out there with the name Nick. If you have the name Nick, thank you.
All right. Well, my son, you can thank him.
I did.
Don't wake him up, though.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Nicholas Cage.
Put the bunny back in the box. So we'll be back after this. Mark probably has to pee again for the fourth time.
Yeah,
he's
going
to go see if Nuck Nuck is out there.
Yeah,
get him in here. We'll get back up.
I just saw some blue lights flashing, so there's a good chance Nuck Nuck's out there.
All right. He's got my bottle of Captain, right?
You guys get your drinks ready. We're going to get our drinks ready, and we'll see you guys back. What time is it? 10:15. We'll see you back at 10:20. Go Bucks.